Frank Provenzano joins us. Frank, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Great, guys. I mean, you guys have had a busy day up in Edmonton. Oh,
well, the hockey world in a span of 30 minutes, man, that might have been the busiest 30 minutes as far as blockbuster names and moves being announced all over the place. But that's actually not, you know, it's good timing to get you on. But the reason I got you on was you wrote an article today kind of about Freakonomics, and it talked a lot about, you know, the salary cap isn't going up and really kind of how the NHL is going to have to change, and really how potentially the NHL is at a tough position to even move forward as far as growing their game.
Yeah, I always kind of try and take a different look at things. You know, spent 17 years in the NHL on the management side of it, and now I'm kind of joining you guys on the media side of it. And one of the things that sort of struck me about a lot of the discussions that was going on this year leading up to free agency, and I think general sense, and I mean, you're in a town that had a trade happen, was that it was going to be a busy maybe trade season, and part of the reason of that is the flat cap and expansion, obviously. And I think there's more reasons of a, you know, behind a flat cap than just, you know, the teams aren't selling as much tickets, and the NHL is really unique when you actually look at it, when you look at its system of revenues and splitting it with the players, and that dictates how much teams can spend on players. There's a whole bunch of things that happen in the world that actually impact how much an NHL player will get in free agency in a given year.
Frank, how much room is there in your mind for the NHL to grow revenues? I mean, there's a set number of Canadian eyeballs on television. There are some challenges in the U.S., you know, without going into the fine print of TV deals and all that, is there still room for this game to grow, or are they bumping up against a ceiling here?
I think they're bumping up against a ceiling, quite frankly. I mean, you had sort of a perfect storm of revenue growth in the 5 or 6 years prior to this year, in that you had a strong Canadian dollar, you had a team move to Canada from Atlanta, so you had a revenue bump there, and you had sleeping giants wake up in major U.S. markets, in Chicago winning 3 cups, L.A. winning 2 cups, the Rangers going to a finals, Philly going to a finals, Boston winning a cup. And I think, you know, when you look at growing revenues, I think the NHL, quite frankly, is going to be treading water revenue-wise for the next little while.
Frank Provenzano joins us, former assistant GM in the National Hockey League for 17 years with the Stars and the Capitals. I think you work contracts over 500 different players at times, negotiating them. And with the salary cap not going up, Frank, you look at Steven Stamkos' contract, and I think that obviously is well aware of player maybe understanding, the tax factor. And I want to ask you, as you guy who negotiated 500 contracts, how much of, you know, tax savings are discussed? Like, when you present it to a guy like Stamkos, because there's no state tax there in Florida compared to Toronto and other places, they're also not the endorsement deals similar. Like, how much of that is all brought to the table when contracts of that stature are being discussed?
I mean, you bring it to the table, obviously, from the team side. You're selling the advantages of your market, and that's one of the things that you sell. And having, you know, spending 7 years here in Dallas, and selling Dallas, that is certainly one of the things that we sold, because it was similar. There was no state income tax, and cost of living is low here. Having said that, you know, your owner and your president always wants you to sell that maybe more than you need to, because the agents all know what the tax rates are, and they've educated the players on cost of living and all of that. And I actually wrote another blog piece today on FPro Sports in anticipation of the Stamkos sweepstakes, and sort of my experience having Brad Richards go out of here, and it was a similar sort of set of circumstances. But I think there's a tendency to oversell some of the off-ice stuff, and there's a little bit of a danger in that too. Okay. At the end of the day, you have to paint a picture of on the ice, because the money's going to be the money for most of these players, and then it's what is the competitive environment like now, from a team standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, from fans in the stands. What is it on the ice versus off the ice?
Interesting. Frank, one dynamic that that certainly no Canadian club can ignore, because we've been through this before, and in fact, the shoe's been on the other foot. When we get this big gap between the Canadian and U.S. dollars, it tightened up there for a while, and teams got healthier because of it, but you can't have a 30-cent disparity without kicking in all kinds of clauses and causing all kinds of consternation around the league, can you?
Well, it certainly hurts. I mean, it hurts on several levels. If you remember coming out of the lockout, which I'm sure you guys do, they announced the big Canadian TV deal, and the thinking was that the cap was going up to $80 million. Or, you know, $80, $85, $90 million were some of the numbers they were kicking around. And, you know, before they instituted the salary cap in 2005, there was actually a program in place to subsidize Canadian teams through the Canadian Currency Assistance Program to make up for that dollar, because before I was in Washington, I was in Vancouver. And so, you know, you're paying your players from an NHL team standpoint, the largest percentage of your costs, which are player costs, are in U.S. dollars, and you're bringing in most of your revenues in Canadian dollars, and it absolutely becomes a competitive disadvantage. Now, that changes somewhat, or actually not somewhat, it changes a lot with a salary cap, because now you're in a revenue system. It's almost a reverse where it tends to impact maybe the U.S. teams to some degree as much as it used to impact the Canadian teams, because it decreases the amount that the New York Rangers and the Philadelphia Flyers can go and spend on players.
Frank Provenzano joins us, former NHL assistant general manager. You can catch out his stuff at fprosports.com, talking all about from analytics to just the money side of things, and negotiate a lot of different contracts. Give me your thoughts quickly on the Subban-Weber deal.
Well, you know, I think it was no surprise that even though the GM in Montreal did his best to deny any rumors that Subban, where there's smoke, there's fire, and it seemed like there was discourse in the dressing room and that he was likely a player to be moved. And I think what you saw in the trades today and what you're probably going to see in the trades going forward with a flat cap, with expansion, is you're trading similar players with similar contracts. Certainly a blockbuster. I mean, Nashville in the last, 10 months has traded a franchise defenseman, two franchise defensemen, and gotten a franchise defenseman and a franchise forward back. So they're certainly no strangers to making news. But I think these are the kind of trades you're gonna see. Teams aren't going to really be able to move the needle because it's a thin free agent class and there's not a lot of cap room through just signing players through free agency. So the real way you're going to make yourself better now, I believe, is it's going to be a much more active trade market, and you're going to have to trade like pieces for like pieces, because it's going to be harder to trade multiple players for one player because of the expansion draft as well. You've got to keep one eye on your roster and one eye on your protection list.
Frank, one last one for me. Stamkos. Is that one of these cliche win-win situations where it's a pretty good number for the Lightning, and Stamkos certainly won't go wanting at the pay window either?
I think so. I think, you know, the ability for him to go and start to meet with teams sort of maybe took some of the mystery out of actually getting to July 1st. And I can't recall the rule, because it's been a couple years since I've actually looked at the CBA, but I'm not sure if there's a restriction on teams trading players, that their own players that they signed. But if there is no restriction, maybe this is a way for Tampa to sign and trade Stamkos on the understanding that they can give him 8 years, and, you know, anybody else in the market could only give him 7.
Yeah, well, obviously it was a smart move by him. I think Tampa Bay keeps him. And Tampa Bay's a team that went all the way to the conference finals without him. So, but they've got some cap troubles of themselves with all those other guys up for contract. And I could see why Bishop might get dealt, strictly because the Kucherov and Kilhorn and Hedman and all those other guys need contracts, if not this summer, then next summer. One last one for you, Frank. Looking at the Hall-Larson deal, what were your thoughts?
I actually thought it was a good trade for both teams. Edmonton, you know, both teams are trading and addressing needs. They're getting players that are similar ages at similar cap numbers. And the one thing I'll say is, you know, there's probably a lot of angst in Edmonton about losing a player like Taylor Hall, who's, you know, first overall pick. He's sort of born and bred and grown there. But in my mind, it's much harder to find defensemen than it is wingers. And it looks like they got a real good young winger in the draft that just happened in Buffalo anyway, to add to their already impressive core of forwards. To me, when you're talking about asset management, the least scarce position, and this is not to take anything away from Taylor Hall, but the least scarce position to find replacements is on the wings.
Frank, we really appreciate it. We're going to have to talk to you again soon. I really enjoy your blog and all the articles. Some good insight from a guy who worked in the NHL for that long. Once again, it's fprosports.com. We'll talk again soon, Frank. Appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.